Columbia Pictures. An impressive statue is cast into silhouette as the early morning sky drifts over it. Then the day breaks, bathing the curves of the stone in golden sunlight and revealing people in simple robes huddling together. Columbia Pictures presents a Stonebridge Entertainment production, a Joel Schumacher film. Flatliners. Starring Kiefer Sutherland, Julia Roberts. William Baldwin. Oliver Platt. And Kevin Bacon. Moving over an expanse of grey water towards a quayside that's lined with multi-storey city buildings. In front of one of the blocks is a tall, thin statue that's covered in plastic and has scaffolding around it. A figure approaches, jumps over the barrier onto the walkway, then stands looking out over the water. He's in his 20s with blonde, swept back hair and is wearing a black shirt and trousers. He whips off his shades and draws his raincoat tighter against the morning breeze. He looks at the spectacular golden sunrise and smiles to himself.
Today's a good day to die.
What's happening?
It's Kraken! Get some help!
Somebody Kraken, you don't have time for anybody else!
We got this.
Runner and taxi. 90 over 60 and dropping my bag.
Vaginal bleeding?
What'd he say?
Jeez, he's probably a
street
of bullshit. He's probably a uterine artery. Come on.
You gotta open her up.
All the elders are full. It'll be another 10 minutes.
Yeah, well, that's too late. Get her under.
Who's gonna do the surgery?
I am.
You can't. Just do it.
You gotta get her arm.
Get
him
out of
here. Get him out of here.
Nina! Nina!
15 years on the job and you're gonna get in the can in one day.
You're crazy. All right, here we go. Shh. How are we doing? All right, forceps.
Here you go.
Where is it? Clamp.
Get it, Dave. You got her.
All right, I got her. Dave, get out of here. Now!
I tried to stop him.
Libratio, what the hell do you think you're doing?
The med student, Dave, looks at his superior defiantly. Now, small fires are burning outside a grand neoclassical building that's seen better days. The man from the quayside, Nelson, looks about him, then runs inside.
Randall Steckel, diary of a surgeon. Not a surgeon yet. Randall Steckel, diary of a surgeon to be. Wimpy. Randall Steckel, making of a di... Randall Steckel, forging of a surgeon. Not pretentious. Randall Steckel, Genesis? Yeah. Randall Steckel, Genesis of a young surgeon. Brilliant.
Inside a once grand room, workmen have a scaffolding platform set up beside frescoes framed in arches. Nelson breezes in past a no admittance sign.
Morning. Nice work. Keep it up.
A female med student, Rachel, is taking notes from patients.
Suddenly, even though I was in a coma, I saw myself. Like from above, looking down. Ralph, my husband, was crying. And the doctor was saying I was dying. I saw myself in the bed and everything. And I started to float out into the hall. And then into this tunnel. Toward this light. And it was the most beautiful light I ever saw. And I heard this voice. And it was the most beautiful voice I ever heard. And it said, I'm going to take your baby. But you are going back. And I woke up and there was Ralph and the doctor.
I was legally dead 4.5 minutes, but I didn't see no tunnel and I didn't see no light.
Oh, I did. And it was so beautiful.
I was in this garden.
In this tunnel and this light and then this, like a guide and a chariot and music.
Terry, I think they better get you off medication.
Thanks.
Rachel goes up to a ward nurse.
What's up? Good morning. There's trouble in ER. I'll watch your ass today.
Thanks.
Why are you always asking the patients about death anyway?
I'm gonna be late to class. Thanks, Edna.
Spoils of arthritis. Some rather resilient inflammatory tissue here trying to sever. Come on, damn it.
We are now beneath the transverse arch of the foot, the 3 cuneiforms, the 5 metatarsals.
Not really, Dr. Steckel. You'll be sure to bring all that talent with you tonight, okay?
Nelson, about tonight. It's because I like you as much as I do that I have to decline on moral grounds.
Look, isn't there enough atrocity in the world without your own little horror?
Horror? Steckel, it's ignorance we fear since when did truth and knowledge become a horror? Especially to a scientist and a genius like yourself.
Rachel arrives late for the class, where cadavers have been laid out on tables.
Good morning, Manus. How you doing?
Fine.
I've been meaning to ask you something. Are you dating anyone?
Identify.
Costa diaphragmatic recess. It's not offensive if I make conversation, is it? I mean, sometimes it's nice to open up, that's all. Like old Lenny here. He's open.
Identify?
Pylorus. Look, I've heard all the rumors and nicknames about you, Rachel. But I'm sure you're a very warm woman. Not the least bit frigid or repressed. Identify.
Your brains.
Good. Mm-hmm. So you want to come over to my place? Well, we can do some more serious, Nikki.
Excuse me, Dr. Hurley. I need a word with Dr. Manus.
Sure.
Nelson pulls Rachel aside.
Didn't I already say no to this?
Look, I've already got Steckel and Hurley, two of the top GPAs in the school. All I need you to do is handle the injections and the IV.
Forget it, Nelson. I have no interest in watching you kill yourself.
I think you do.
Good morning, class. Today's exam will be scaled. 3 A's will be given, 5 B's, 10 C's, and the remaining 4 will get D's and F's. Once again, as in life, you are not in competition with me, yourself, or this exam, but with each other.
Piece of cake.
Look, there are a lot of others in this school who'd like to make a name for themselves off of something like this. Just seems a shame to me that people with the ability don't have the nerve.
All right, then. You want us there? We'll be there, Nelson.
Hey, speak for yourself, Joseph.
Sure, it'll be dramatic, Nelson. You cry, faint, puke at best, but then what? Because frankly, I don't think you have the balls.
You just bring the equipment. I'll bring my balls.
Did you hear about Liberatio?
Dave throws his bag out of the window.
Dave, it's a 4-month suspension. It's not even going to affect your scholarship.
Forget it! I'm out of here.
You're the best student that school's ever had. They don't let a guy like you walk away from medicine. Besides, you were wrong.
Nelson, goddamn it, she was dying. I saved her life. All right, now what the hell would you have done?
Why are you taking this personally? Of course they're gonna make an example out of you. They have to protect their insurance bond. They'll ask you back next term.
It doesn't matter, because given the same situation, I would do it again.
I know you would. That's exactly why I need you there tonight.
There are a few people that I would like to kill right now. You, however, are not one of them.
Hey, I don't want to die. I want to come back with the answers to death and life. I can get there with the others. But I need you. I need you to bring him back. Please.
I'm sorry, man. I can't do that.
Great. Why don't you just walk away, Dave? Go climb a mountain. You know, I don't even understand you anymore. You burned your career today on a stranger. Now you're turning your back on a friend.
Nelson goes over to where Dave is busy tying up the canvas at the back of his old army truck.
Look, I'm real sorry about what happened today, okay? I really am. What are my chances of making it back without you?
So don't do it.
Nelson steps away, looks down the street, then turns back.
Hey, Dave. What if it works?
He laughs, then sets off along the street. And Dave watches him go and smiles to himself. On a ward, Rachel pushes a trolley over to an old woman's bedside. In the next bed, the young woman Terry is listening to music with her eyes closed, surrounded by flowers, teddy bears and balloons. Rachel helps herself to one of the floral baskets and transfers it to the old woman's bedside.
I don't want to be buried on Saturday. It costs $150 more to be buried on Saturday.
Mrs. Amsler, you're doing much better.
The old woman looks away, and Rachel seems unnerved for a second. 3 posters for sex, drugs, and rock and roll are on the glass brick wall of a loft apartment. On the mezzanine, Joe Hurley is having sex with a blonde woman, rhythmically moving on top of her and planting kisses on her skin. Ignoring the phone, he looks up at a video camera hidden on a beam above his head and gives it a cheeky grin.
Leave a message after the beep. Dr. Hurley, I know you're home. Don't be late. Don't forget the camera.
What camera?
Nelson moves through his pristine white apartment to the bathroom, where he leans on the sink and takes a long, hard look at himself in the mirror. Amber works lamps flash on and off in the darkness outside the medical school. Inside, a statue of a woman's solemn face catches the moonlight. A carved relief depicts man and a skeletal death gripping onto a winged staff with a serpent coiled around it. Steckles creeping through the school with an oxygen tank on a trolley. Keeping his eyes peeled, he hurries through the frescoes room, then passes through a workman's plastic curtain. He proceeds with caution, passing lights which fill the corridor in an eerie blue glow. The noise makes him duck down sharply, then he inches forward. Hurley's setting up some equipment.
Oh, the bed. Thank God he called a specialist.
No lecture, please.
Why should I expect that after you become engaged, you might grow up, huh?
Did it ever dawn on you that I'm trying to work some things out? Recording a few last adventures before I resigned to a life monogamy.
No, never dawned on me for a moment. But the words pussy marauder do pop into mind occasionally. What the hell are we doing here? This is goodbye med school. Goodbye career.
Chill out, Pendle. $10 says he doesn't do it. Shit his drawers and we're out of here.
Not those lights! Security will come running. Set up over the grate. I just got the boiler going.
You really gonna do this?
Just you and the man. You're gonna take me down with nitrous, sodium pentothal, and a refrigerated blanket. I got some chilled D5W in the cooler. When my body temperature hits 86 degrees, you're gonna hit me with 200 joules. The electric current will stop my heart.
When the heart is dead, take the mask off.
Where's Menace? I thought you said Rachel was coming.
Steckle, shut the door.
Wait a minute.
I'm gonna draw 20 cc's. You handle the injections. When the EEG flatlines, the brain is dead. We'll be exploring. Give me 30 seconds. Flip the blanket onto warm. Take me up to 93 degrees. Slowly. Inject 1 cc of adrenaline. And at 1 minute, Joe, you come in with the defibs. And you bring me back to life.
With brain damage. Resembling in many ways a Cabbage Patch doll.
Not with a body temperature of 86 degrees. Dr. Manis, will you handle the injections?
Rachel nods.
Wait a minute. Wait. Quite simply, why are you doing this?
Quite simply, to see if there's anything out there beyond death. Philosophy failed. Religion failed. Now it's up to the physical sciences. I think mankind deserves to know.
So you're doing this for mankind?
This letter absolves you of any responsibility, just in case.
This isn't for mankind. This is for Nelson. Why do I suddenly see you on 60 Minutes, sandwiched in between Andy Rooney and a Subaru commercial? Tonight, a brilliant young medical student who dared to experience death and come back.
Fame is inevitable.
That's the wrong reason.
It's the right idea. Dr. Hurley Electrons.
Come on, Joe. Don't you want to be on 60 Minutes?
Nelson sits up on the bed.
Rachel, how about a little nitrous? At least I get to go out with a laugh. Dr. Hurley, get the blanket.
A monitor is switched on.
We're all professionals. I'm sure this will go very smoothly.
Nelson, if you die, can I have your apartment? It's a joke. It's a joke.
1 minute. Don't be late. Start filming now. I'm gonna have a complete record of the experiment. Promise me, you'll go through with this.
She nods, then finishes putting sensor pads on his face.
One more kiss goodbye.
I'll see you soon.
As she covers his nose with the nitrous mask, Hurley focuses the video camera on Nelson's face.
96 degrees.
This letter does not mean shit. But please, let him sleep it off. He'll have a wet dream and think you went to heaven, okay?
Good idea. Good night, Nelson.
Now I know why I'm here.
Look, I have expressed myself very clearly for the record. Good night.
Steckel's right. You're willing to risk everything. Med school, your future, for Nelson's fame. Someone's coming.
Oh, shit.
Dave strides in.
Is he dead?
He's only sleeping.
Thank God you're here to talk some sense into these people.
I'll do it.
What?
You're taking over?
I got nothing to lose.
Just his life.
I can get him back. Just stop his heart. 1 minute, and he'll be right back.
I don't think I couldn't have.
No! Clear.
What are you doing?
Sistily.
You are killing him. It's called murder? No wonder you got tossed. This is not the kind of shit I want in my transcript.
Please don't. Don't do any more. I did not come to medical school to murder my classmates, no matter how deranged they might be.
Flatline.
She pulls off the nitrous mask.
They're getting smaller. He's dying.
Brain death. Now it's real.
Start filming. Let me defib him. He's dead. Isn't that enough? Let me try and bring him back.
Just watch the door.
Excuse me. I don't want to ruin anybody's evening, but are we in the room with the dead man?
Oh, my God.
1 minute to go.
Start filming.
Hurley lifts up the camera, then slowly zooms in on Nelson's peaceful face. He gradually focuses on one of Nelson's eyes until the image becomes so magnified that it dissolves into grainy black and white pixels. Moving at speed over a seemingly endless field of golden grass. It Eventually, the grass ends, giving way to a bare branch tree and a bright, sunny sky.
30 seconds to go.
Okay, here we go. Let's heat them up.
As the elements in the blanket grow red, Nelson's floating above the tree and looking down on three figures who are galloping through the field towards him. They're young boys. They bound closer and closer, waving shiny silver streamers in their hands.
20 seconds at 89, 90,
standing 91. Standing by with sodium bicarbonate. Charging the paddles.
Dave picks up the defibrillator paddles.
Charged.
A dog is also running through the field. One of the boys has blonde hair like Nelson's.
My body temp 93 degrees. All right, here we go. Clear.
Nelson's vision distorts.
What do we got?
Come on, Nelson. Nothing, not a goddamn thing.
Up to 300. Charge. Clear.
Nelson starts floating upwards from the field.
Again, CPR. 1,000. 2,000.
Sodium bicarbonate.
3,000. Bag him. 4,000. 5,000. Freeze. 2,000. 3,000. 4,000.
Nelson's dream becomes a nightmare.
3,000. Now 4,000. Look at it. Not a goddamn thing.
5,000. Freeze.
98 degrees.
Hit him again. 350. Clear.
Nothing.
Holy
nothing.
Shit.
A young boy standing alone.
Got him!
L2 up, cycle, help me.
Epi, more Epi. In.
As Nelson moves his head from side to side, Rachel holds the mask over his nose and strokes his hair. His eyelids twitch. Nelson blinks awake and she removes the mask.
Nelson, can you hear us?
Welcome back.
Nelson, you crazy motherfucker, you did it!
Jesus Christ.
Stick with that some bedside manner. You're gonna make one hell of a doctor.
Suck me.
The med school's stained glass windows are flanked by uplighters. As the jubilant group hurries past the statue covered in plastic, Steckel and Hurley support Nelson, who's wrapped up in a blanket. They arrive at Dave's truck and bundle Nelson into the back. Dave's truck drives underneath a bridge that has a slow-moving train crossing it. As they make their way across the nighttime city, Dave looks over his shoulder at the others and smiles. Rachel looks at Nelson soberly and wraps the blanket tighter around him. When a smile breaks across his face, she looks away. Now they've parked on a street.
Can you recall any specific emotion or sensation? Heat, cold, anything like that?
You can't break it down into specifics.
Well, they say they see a tunnel with a light at the end.
No, but there is something out there. It's comforting.
Do you have any idea how big this is? Can you even imagine?
You walked on the moon, buddy.
Okay, he could use some air. I think you guys could get him some fluids.
Thanks for saving my life.
It was so much fun.
Let's get that blood pressure back. Are you all right, wise one?
Dave, I feel like a highly tuned instrument. Can you hear the traffic on the lakeshore? Underneath that, there's a hum. It's the streetlights.
All right.
Even fainter, I can hear a kind of dragging sound. It's getting louder.
No.
I don't only hear it, I can feel it.
Yeah, well, your prognosis is excellent. You look great on 60 Minutes.
It's bigger than that, David.
By the time you're through with it, I'm sure it will be.
You're not buying any of this, are you?
Hey, you forgot. I'm an atheist. You all right for a few minutes?
Yeah.
Leaving Nelson sitting in the back of the truck, Dave joins the others in a store.
How's he doing?
Well, physically, he's stable. He's talking like Lazarus back from the dead.
Well, that's what we did, right? We brought him back from the dead.
What we did was get lucky.
I would like to go next.
Forget it.
Me too. Seriously. I mean, why shouldn't we all be famous in this?
That's not what this is about, Jeff.
Yeah, Earl, you're gonna be famous. They're gonna build monuments to you. Little stones about this high. Rest in peace. Like it or not, I'm going next.
I'd be willing to go 1 minute, 20 seconds.
1:30. Are you too crazy? Or are you just so tragically competitive that you would enter into a bidding war with your lives? Huh? 1:30. Well, that's it then. Not a bad price to pay for stock and fame and glory.
Die to be a hero someday if you want to, but don't die to be a celebrity.
Outside, Nelson gazes up at the sky and laughs to himself. Then his smile quickly fades. He peers down a back alley, and through the steam that's drifting up from the vents, he sees large demonic faces staring at him from a graffiti-covered wall. Lit by an eerie blue light, the faces appear alongside him as well as in front of him. The dog from his dream appears at the end of the alley, and Nelson smiles briefly before his face clouds over again. The dog is crippled, limping badly, with both its back legs trussed up in bandages. Nelson stares at the dog, struggling to focus on it through the steam.
Jim?
Suddenly, the eerie blue light disappears, and the back alley returns to normal.
I think someone ought to stay with him tonight.
I'm afraid I have class in 3 hours.
I will.
All right. You okay?
I'd like to go home.
Champ is bounding through the field of grass once again, with the young Nelson and his two friends running after him and shouting. The wind activates a macabre weather vane showing a butcher chopping a bone. They're chasing a fourth boy in a red hooded top towards a line of bare trees. The sun disappears and the trees become distorted and nightmarish. The adult Nelson is in free fall and yelling. Rachel wakes up, having sat with Nelson through the night.
Are you okay? You were hyperventilating.
She checks his pulse.
You can expect your blood pressure to rise over the next 14 hours. Cardiovascular vessels will constrict, increasing your blood supply.
God, you're beautiful.
Get some rest.
Hey. I bet 24 hours ago you didn't think you'd be spending the night here, did you?
You were lucky last night, Nelson. Don't push it.
From a cupboard full of tapes with women's names on them, Hurley selects one labelled Engagement Party.
So, I want to wish you two the best of everything together. I know you'll be healthy and wealthy and happy together in your wealth.
Hello. May I please speak to Ann Cauldron?
Hello.
Ann?
Hi. I have been thinking about you all day. How are you?
Counting the days to Thanksgiving break.
Me too. You know, I gotta transfer to a school close to you. Or get a faster car.
Sometimes I wonder maybe we should have gotten married last summer.
Well, my mother wasn't ready yet.
No, honey, you're the best. And if anything should ever happen...
Joe, what's wrong?
I don't know. I'm just tired. I'm not making any sense. Look, honey, I should go.
Joey, what's the matter? You're scaring me.
It's okay, honey. Nothing's wrong. I love you. Bye.
He watches him and Anne kiss on the tape. A circle of light appears at the end of a pitch-black tunnel, gradually moving closer. As the light grows brighter, the tunnel walls become fleshy, before dissolving into a pool of water and a nurse picking up a newborn child. A woman's nipple, then her lips as she grins and waves a rattle. Two smartly dressed women lean over the unseen baby and coo. Moving up an adolescent girl's bare legs to her eyes, which look out from under the brim of a hat. An older girl is standing next to her, also looking. A woman's lips, cleavage, and eye are interfused with grappling hands. Back in the real world, Rachel's hand strokes the dead Hurley's cheek. Then someone applies the defibrillator paddles to his chest.
Nothing.
Starting CPR. 1-1000, 2-1000, 3-1000, 4-1000, 5-1000, breathe.
CPR and adrenaline and nothing.
145.
What's going on here? Come on, Joel.
3-1000. Come on, Nelson, let me try.
5-1000, breathe.
We're running out of time.
2-1000, 3-1000.
Come on, Nelson, let me try. I'm
doing everything I fucking can. Breathe.
Let him try.
Nelson, step back.
Come on, Joel. 1-1000, 2-1000, 3-1000, 4-1000, 5-1000, breathe. 1-1000, 2-1000, 3-1000, 4-1000, 5-1000, breathe.
Hurley is lost in a montage of fishnet stockings, lacy G-strings, and a host of alluring women. Hands reach out to a string of pearls, which overlap with a black-gloved hand, a bare breast, a succession of beautiful women's faces, and sexy underwear encasing pert breasts. Then, the women's faces spin round and round in a blur.
Got him. O2.
Hurley's brought back to life.
O2 up.
CPR successful. Hurley lives.
It's okay, Joe.
Rachel and Dave share a look, while Nelson stands apart and lets out a hollow laugh.
It was great.
Here it comes. Why don't you just let him talk, Dave?
Define great.
I don't know, it's not thinking about the past or the future. I don't know, it's difficult to explain. Maybe impossible.
Yeah, dying is funny that way.
Dave, Nelson's right. There definitely is activity beyond death.
Absolutely.
The experience was strange. It's almost erotic.
He's dead and he gets laid. No, wait a sec. What do you mean erotic?
I don't want you to think that it was casually, wantonly sexual by any means.
That never would have occurred to me in a million years, no way.
It was friendly. I don't know, there's something vaguely feminine guiding me.
This could be the conquest of our generation. The last great frontier. Look, first you had the sea, then America, then the West, the moon, Mr. Leary, drugs, the inner journey, Miss McLean and our illustrious former First Lady, the outer journey. But this is ours.
Well, we did have disco.
We have finally found something worthwhile, something to upstage those fucking baby boomers.
Watch your mouths.
I found something. Okay, let's not forget that.
I came back from the dead tonight.
Doesn't surprise me. We had Elvis in here last night. Babe, when you're ready, okay?
Joe, did you find it difficult at the end, getting back?
No, not that I remember.
Oh, but you remember everything else, right? I think you guys are full of shit. I'm not buying any of this.
Yeah, well, I probably wouldn't buy any of it either. Unless I'd been there. So what about it, Dave?
Yeah, you're an atheist. You got nothing to lose, right?
I'm going next.
Wait a minute. Nobody. He's going next. You're looking for answers? There's no answers here. I think you just saw what you wanted to see. Give it up. It's getting too dangerous.
Who the hell are you to...
We can't turn back now. I'm going further. 150.
2 minutes.
Whoa. You just said that
I changed my mind. 2 minutes.
210.
220.
Well, looks like we found a winner.
Rachel storms out of the diner.
Enjoying yourself, Nelson?
Dave grabs his jacket and hurries after her. Nelson takes a drag on his cigarette, then looks at the others.
Joe? Was there anything negative about your experience? Anything negative at all?
No. Nothing.
Good. Good.
Hey! Hey! Hold on!
What was that? Your idea of chivalry?
No, absolutely not.
Maybe just trying to show me up.
Now, what makes you think everything is always about you?
Because nobody seems to want me to go under. I don't need your protection, Lambratio.
Well, there seems to be a lot of speculation about what you do need, Manus.
Oh, does there? And what did you decide in your infinite wisdom?
Well, I decided that when someone is as smart and as driven as you are, and incredibly beautiful, that it makes the rest of us very nervous.
Why'd you change your mind?
Because I'm the skeptic. I'm the controller in this experiment. I should go next. Look, if there's nothing out there, then I am not going to convince myself that there isn't, and there's no reason for us to go any further.
Okay, but how do you explain the similarity in death experiences all over the world? People from different cultures and religions all seeing the same things in the same order.
I don't know. Maybe there's some chemical or a hormone released from the brain at the time of death that makes it more palatable to us.
No, you're reaching. So what if you go and there is something out there?
You can kill yourself for as long as you want.
I'm not going to kill myself.
Well, you know, I'm glad to hear that, man. It's because I really haven't known you for very long, but I get the feeling like I might miss you. So why this obsession with death?
It's not an obsession. It's an interest. It's a personal interest.
Okay.
Good night.
Well, let's take it. Can I drive you home or something, or...?
No, thanks.
Nelson's standing on a dark, deserted street corner. He waits for the police car to pass, then, crossing the road, pauses to light a cigarette. A group of cyclists mysteriously whiz past on either side of him. He shrugs on his coat, digs his hands into the pocket, then carries on across the rain-soaked street. He turns off into a dark back alley, where a homeless man looks up from his fire and smiles at him strangely. An intimate-looking couple glare at him as he passes. Two prostitutes stare at him as well as he carries on, moving closer to the voice. The woman who it belongs to sits beside a burning car.
I didn't take the money. You gave it to me. I got the toaster, but too many appliances make you love me.
Right, Nelson? Because in the end, we all know what we've done.
Nelson runs off. A blue strip light hangs over a dark stairway that's letting in rainwater. Nelson hurries down the steps, then stops suddenly under a bridge. He glimpses his crippled dog moving between the pillar supports.
Champ? Champ? Champ!
Nelson comes along a reeking, narrow tunnel.
Champ! Champ!
He sees Champ disappearing around the corner at the far end and chases after him. He stops. He's at a crossroads of tunnels, all lit by bare light bulbs which give off the same eerie blue light.
Champ! Come on, buddy. Come here. Champ? Come here, boy. Come on. Champ?
He sees the young boy from his nightmare standing alone.
What are you doing here, kid? You all right?
Hey, you okay? What are you doing here? You lost?
The boy kicks him in the groin, then rains vicious kicks and punches on him. Nelson looks up at him and gets punched in the face. Then the boy vanishes into thin air.
Halloween morning. Rotting pumpkins, burning leaves, black cats mating like rats in the alley. It was as... it were as if we felt no fear. As if we were already dead and had nothing to lose by dying. Or perhaps it was because we lived life so well and loved life so much that we imagined ourselves immortal, overwhelming the powers that be with the force of our passion for science. Or maybe we were just fucked in the head.
Hey, I'm Joe Hurley. You're Terry, right?
Uh-huh.
Listen, I heard you had a near-death experience.
I don't want to talk about it.
Hey, wait a minute. I had a near-death experience also.
You did?
Yes, and I need someone to talk to. Terry, this thing changed my life.
First of all, they didn't even believe me.
What the hell do they know? We were there, right?
Listen, I want you to tell me all about it. But if you've got to go to class, maybe we'll meet together some night this week and discuss it.
You know, all that day I knew something was going to happen. I've always had premonitions about things. Once my aunt was supposed to fly into Las Vegas, and I told her...
Suddenly, Hurley sees the ball game on the TV, switched to a home movie of himself having sex with a girl.
Why'd you do this to me, Joe?
He stares at the screen in shock. A train rumbles over the bridge outside Nelson's apartment. Inside, Nelson's standing at the mirror, stitching up a bloody gash running along his cheekbone. One of his eyes is badly bloodshot. Using tweezers to hold the needle, he drags the thread through his flesh and winces. He helps himself to one of several identical white shirts hanging on a rail, touches his stitches, then moves through to the next room, shrugging on the shirt as he goes. He stops and looks towards the door. A warm glow disappears and is replaced by the eerie blue light, which is punctuated with strange moving shadows. Seeing a dark silhouette appear at the doorpane at the bottom of the door, he panics. Grabbing his jacket, he bolts out of the back door and runs down the stairs. He barges through a fire door, then stops dead in his tracks. A shadow is looming towards him. The fire door is locked. Down at the waterfront, a large bonfire is burning outside the grand pillared entrance of the med school. People in elaborate Halloween costumes and masks are dancing and partying around it. An Elvis impersonator struts his stuff with a woman in black, and a line of people draped in white sheets with grotesque pumpkin heads ride past on bicycles. In the room next door to the frescoes, Steckel draws the blind on the revelries outside.
I don't know, you guys. It's Halloween. There's a full moon. Don't you think we might be pushing this just a little bit?
Sorry I'm late.
What the hell happened to your face?
Some guys, some very big guys. It doesn't matter.
Let me take a look at it.
Fine.
Hurley's in a skeleton costume.
Where the hell have you been? I don't feel very well. What the hell happened to you?
Enough. Worry about your camera. Nice outfit. You ready?
I'm ready. Who are you supposed to be? Boner man?
220, don't forget.
You just hurry up and get back. And buy us breakfast.
Anything else?
What?
to let go of the rope. Okay.
See you soon.
Rachel places the mask over Dave's nose and gives him a faint smile. Nelson prepares a shot.
20 cc sodium pentothal in.
86 degrees.
200 joules charged. Clear.
Flatline.
Rachel removes the mask from Dave's face. Now sinking into his head. An eye bleached of colour opens, the pupil becoming a black hole. Time starts moving backwards in a succession of fleeting images, from the others in the room, through Dave saving the woman's life, to snapshots of family life from his childhood, until finally, he's just a fetus in the womb. Now soaring over a dramatic, snow-covered mountain range, whose lofty, jagged peaks break through the blanket of cloud and catch the sunlight.
What hangs in the air, palpably? Is it hope? Is it fear? Is it the musky mist of death?
Shut up, Steckel. No, you shut up.
What if he didn't make it back? Would you miss him, Rachel? 1 minute.
Flying over the edge of a pristine white slope, then floating through the air. Vague images of children clapping.
-90 degrees.
Let me see, we give another 5 seconds.
What?
10. Why not 10? We got a little time to decide. Are you serious?
Joey, I trusted you, Joe.
Stations. Joe, you're blocking our view.
Come on, guys. No kidding around here. 210.
Who's kidding? What the hell's going on here?
92 degrees.
Joe, get it. Come on, come on, come on, come on. 215, 216, 217, 218.
220, hand it over.
This is my lamp. 300 joules. Clear.
Now being sucked into the pitch blackness of a railway tunnel, then a young girl emerging from the shadows.
Breathe.
Sodium bicarbonate epion.
1-1000, 2-1000.
What comes next?
Knock it off, Nelson.
5-1000. Breathe.
200 joules charge. Clear. Monday.
Children on swings in a playground.
That's it, that's it.
That's not it. The second beep. They're charging again. 300.
You're hot. Try lidocaine. At 245 atropine.
Not yet, Stuckle. Clear.
Come on, Dave. Come on.
Increasing beep of 360 charge. Clear.
Throw the lidocaine.
Damn it, he won't hold the beat.
3 fucking minutes.
Starting CPR. 1-1000.
Atropine in.
2-1000. Joe, keep filming. I'm gonna bring him back. 5-1000. Breathe.
You lied to me, Joe.
4-1000. 2-1000.
You lost to 3-1000.
Lidocaine push.
4-1000.
Somebody do something.
5-1000. Breathe.
60 charged. Clear.
Got him.
O2 standing by.
1 milligram epi in.
That sounds good. That was close, boy. Oh my God, that was close. That was way too close. Okay? That was too close.
Okay.
What did you say there?
Okay. It's a war cry from the Sioux Indians. Very macho. It means today is...
Today is a good day to die.
So was it, Dave? Was today a good day to die?
Well, I don't know if I was dead. I may have felt something, I don't know, like a dream or just a bunch of stuff stored up inside my mind.
You were brain dead. There was no mind.
Yeah, but some electrical current still circulating through my body.
Would have shown up on the EEG.
David, you were dead. So why don't you just tell us what happened?
It's hard to verbalize. It's like being paranoid without the fear. Like being watched. But I don't know, that was probably just you guys standing over me.
Watching? Who could be watching?
The dead.
I didn't say that.
But the skeptic did feel something, didn't you? I'm going again.
No way, Nelson. I've been bumped twice.
The bidding starts at 4 minutes.
4 minutes?
Yeah. Libratio went for 350.
Wait. That was a mistake. We almost lost him.
Anything under 4 minutes right now would be redundant.
No one is going for 4 minutes.
Wait a minute, nobody is going.
425.
5 minutes.
I'm next, or I'm out for good.
Without her help, 5 minutes is going to be hard enough. But without me.
Or me.
Count me out too, Nelson.
Well, mutiny at last. You know, I trusted you. All of you with an idea that was so simple and brilliant, you get one in a lifetime.
Why don't you give it a rest, Nelson?
No, you give it a rest. None of you had the foresight or the balls to do any of this until I did it. Rachel, you want to go next? Be my guest. Fuck the rest of you. This is my idea. You're just tourists.
Hey, I would have gone 330, maybe 340. I still might. I'm not saying I won't. But Joe, 425 is crazy. We're pushing the 5 minute mark here. Dangerous. Zucchini land. And frankly, at this point, I really got to start to question Nelson's judgment.
Shit, Joe. You said you loved me, Joe.
Anne's face also appears on a TV screen.
I love you, Joe.
Yoo-hoo. Buddy. Skeletor? You listening to me?
Nelson lets himself into his apartment and flicks on the light. He marches into the bedroom and sees footprints on his white sheet. Sensing something behind him, he turns and the young boy whacks him over the head with a hockey stick. When Nelson falls onto the bed, the boy breaks the stick over him, then straddles him. He forms a globule of spittle in his mouth, then lets it drop onto Nelson's face. Nelson screams. A mural of a snow-covered mountain fills the wall behind Dave's bed. Dave awakes bleary-eyed, then sits up. He sees Rachel up and dressed, rolling up the sheet for a camp bed. They exchange a look, then she smiles shyly.
Thanks for staying.
I'm on an early shift at the hospital. You seem fine, so I'll see you later.
Wait. About tonight.
Don't try to talk me out of it.
Why are you doing this?
Look, I've lost people that are close to me. Just want to make sure they've gone to a good place. Does that seem trivial?
No, to tell you the truth, it's the best reason I've heard yet for going. But listen, there's something I didn't tell you about last night. I had this feeling that if I had gone any further, that there was something out there protecting me. You know, something good. So you don't need to go under.
You trying to tell me the atheist now believes in God?
I'm trying to tell you that I don't want you to do it.
Well, just think about all I have to talk about when you bring me back.
I'm dying. Don't lie to me.
Rachel's at the old woman's bedside.
Mrs. Amsler, you've put up a great fight. Sometimes we just have to let go.
That's what the voices say.
What voices?
They say, have you done enough? Have you told everyone you love them? I have.
It's okay. They're friendly voices. They're just telling you what you need to know.
What?
That you have someplace to go.
Do you believe that?
Yes, I do.
She lays her hand over Mrs. Amsler's and the old lady pats it. Later, Rachel's at home, towel drying her long brown hair, when she notices a framed photo across the room. It's of her as a young girl, standing with her arm around her dad, who's in military uniform. Riding on the train, Dave looks at his fellow passengers as the train is drawn into the same tunnel he saw when he was dead. The carriage is plunged into darkness as it moves through the pitch black. Then Dave appears in a spotlight with the young girl from his vision behind him.
Hey! Hey, Felatio! Got a match? Well, I do. Your face in my ass. Your breath fed a buffalo fart.
Do I know you?
You don't know jack shit. Burt White, Neil Dick, Cogbite, Jagoff, Limp Wrist, Coral Ho, Banana Breath, Chip Burt, Burt, Turd Face, Kiss Ass, Brown Nose, Macho Wimp, Limp Dick, Fart Face, Turd Merchant. What's the matter, gonna cry? Come to cry, baby daddy. Cry, cry, cry. Shit face, rat turd, ass licking son of a bitch.
The train hurtles out of the tunnel, jolting Dave back to reality. That night at the med school, Hurley's positioning buckets to try and catch the rainwater that's leaking through the ceiling. Rachel is on the bed, with Nelson making preparations around her.
How'd it happen?
I was playing hockey. Look, about last night.
It's okay.
No shoulder ratio.
You know, this really isn't like him at all.
Just his way of trying to stop me won't work. I'm ready.
I don't think it is at all a good idea to do this without David.
We don't need Dave.
Can you do this?
Can you trust me?
No, but let's do it anyway.
Nitrous on.
See you soon.
Nelson places the mask over her nose and she closes her eyes. Dave sprints past the frescoes, then bursts into the experiment room.
How long she been under? 120. We're bringing her back.
No, we're not.
Put that blanket to warm. Body temp?
86
degrees. Wait a second, she hasn't been under long enough.
Just do it, Joe. Joe, we said 425.
Just do it! Don't expect any hugs and kisses for this.
In Rachel's head, an image of Jesus Christ flickers in red light. The flicker becomes the flashes from her mother's camera as she takes photos of a cake with Welcome Home Daddy written on it. Rachel's around 5 and standing next to her dad who's in uniform. Her granddad laughs, then she's served red punch in a cup. There's a Welcome Home Daddy banner written in her childish hand on the wall above a Stars and Stripes flag. As Rachel sits smiling in her father's arms, being showered with confetti, he turns away with a haunted look on his face.
Waiting for body temp to rise, 89 degrees, aborting fourth experiment. Why, Dave? Did you ask Dr. Death? 90 degrees. What's going on, Nelson?
Nothing. Just bringing Rachel back a little early, that's all.
That's all, huh?
Come on, you guys, don't start now. Think about Rachel.
Joe's right. 91 degrees, let's be ready.
Nearby, rainwater is dripping on exposed fuse boxes. In Rachel's childhood, her mother's busy ironing in the kitchen. Rachel stops playing with her tambourine and looks up the stairs, which are littered with her toys. At the top, a door is ajar. As white lights flash all around, she slowly sets off up the stairs, then pushes open the door. On the other side, the bathroom is bathed in red light, and her father's sitting with his back to her. Suddenly, her mother pulls her away. Her father runs out. Her mother turns towards the gunshot, horrified.
Nothing. Take me up to 300. 300? You're hot. Clear?
Come on, Rachel, come on.
Nope, not a thing. 205. You're hot. Clear.
Come on, Rachel, come on.
Shit!
In slow motion, she follows her mother outside, where a Stars and Stripes pitched in the front garden flutters in the breeze. A child's bicycle lies abandoned on the curb. Rachel's mum runs towards the road and screams.
300 joules clear. Got her.
B-Fib, don't have her.
It's okay, it's fine, we'll get her.
Step me up to 360. Clear.
What the hell is going on?
Damn, what'd you do to me? I had her.
Fuse, short, maybe a circuit.
Joe, the battery, you charge it, right?
Shit.
Oh, shit.
Starting CPR, bagger, steckle, 1-1000, 2-1000, 3-1000, 4-1000, 5-1000, breathe.
No pulse.
Epi in, 1-1000, 2-1000, 3-1000, 4-1000, 5-1000, breathe.
Rachel's mother screams. Her father has shot himself in the car. As Rachel stands, looking at the bullet hole in the shattered, blood-stained windscreen, the hole moves closer and closer towards her.
4-1000, 5-1000, breathe. This is not working. Joe, take over.
Got her. 4 minutes. She's been under 4 minutes.
2-1000, 3-1000, 4-1000, 5-1000, breathe.
1-1000.
We're moving to Bertillium.
No.
It's the only way.
No.
It's our last chance.
Don't do it. You will fry her.
Nelson taps her arm and prepares to give her the shot.
Nelson!
Please, don't.
Nelson moves the needle away.
You bring her back.
4-1000, 5-1000, breathe.
Come on, man.
4-1000, 2-1000, 3-1000, 4-1000, 5-1000, breathe.
You gotta get in.
Let's go. 4-1000.
2-1000.
3-1000.
Come on, back to us.
5-1000, breathe.
Dave gives her the kiss of life.
We 1-1000.
Shh, 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 shh. I got something. I hear something.
Dave puts the mask on her, and it fills with her breath.
She's back.
As relief washes over them, Dave runs his hand through his hair. Now, in the Fresco's room.
I still don't understand why you stopped us.
Something happened to me on the L today. Something very strange.
That's why you stopped us.
Listen to me. There was this girl. Winnie Hicks, I think it was. I was in elementary school with her. We used to make fun of her, all right? I was on the train, and I heard someone call me names. I turned around, and I swear to God, she was standing right in front of me. Still only 10 years old.
Well, maybe it was a hallucination. I mean, maybe you fell asleep, thought somehow triggered by submerged guilt.
No, I was not asleep.
Guys, I've seen some odd things from my past, too. I thought it might be brain damage.
In your case, it probably is. Look, I'm gonna get some of this on tape, okay, guys?
Steckel, shut that off. This is personal.
Go ahead, Joe, go ahead.
I've been haunted by these images of women that I videotaped without them knowing. They're all members of the Joe Hurley Video Library.
What? What about you, Nelson? Who's come looking for you?
I think his name's Billy Mahoney. He's an 8-year-old kid we used to pick on in school. It's no big deal.
No big deal, huh? Then why don't you tell us what happened to your face?
Sometimes a little fella gets carried away.
Wait a minute. Wait. I can understand Dave nodding off on the train and pervert here having a couple of flashbacks. But you're saying this guy physically touches you? That is not a hallucination, and it is not possible.
Oh, that's not possible. Or is it?
This is too weird.
Weird. We've experienced death. Now, somehow, we brought our sins back physically. And they're pissed.
And when did you know about this?
I had my suspicions after Joe went.
Before I went? Before she went, and you didn't say a word!
Well, Nelson.
Jesus Christ, I thought we were doctors, scientists.
Well, you're a scientist. It is reckless, immoral, and unethical for you to withhold findings from us.
Rachel Maness may have the answers to life and death. 5 minutes, imagine that. She was under for 5 minutes. Now, if she walks out of that ladies' room with those answers, the whole world will worship her. Just like you do.
You should have told us, Nelson.
You wouldn't have done it.
At least I would have had a choice!
As Dave storms back to the experiment room, Nelson turns and angrily flicks away a cigarette butt.
We're fucked.
Rachel, you all right?
I'm okay.
She She goes to the sink in the dilapidated ladies' room.
I said I was fine. You guys gonna watch me?
Behind her, the room fills with the red light, and something is moving towards her. She stares into the mirror, rooted to the spot, as a dark silhouette appears through the strips of plastic sheeting hanging from the ceiling. A crack in the mirror splits her face in two as she stares tearfully at her father. His face is bathed in red and streaked with blood. Their eyes remain locked. Nelson finishes screwing a large bolt to his apartment's front door. He turns it, then quickly locks the other inside doors. He looks around the room, then sits down on the floorboards facing the front door.
Come on, Billy Mahoney. Come on. Give it your best shot. I dare you. I fucking dare you.
Things from our past? You want revenge?
I don't know. I'm not exactly sure how it works. But if you see anything, I want you to talk to me about it. All right? Whatever it is, you just tell the doctor. I'll be in the living room if you need me.
Is it people who we've hurt or wronged in some way?
Did something happen tonight? Is there something you want to talk to me about?
No.
Just try to get some rest.
Dave heads next door, and Rachel looks uncomfortably at the photo of her dad.
How's she doing?
I don't know. I think she's hiding something.
Like what?
I don't know.
Is there any heebie-jeebie stuff going on in there?
Nothing to do with that kid. How the hell am I supposed to know?
Look, it's just really important that we keep each other informed, okay?
Yeah, all right, I'm sorry. Why don't you guys take off? I'll stay here with her.
Are you okay?
Yeah, I'm fine. I'm sorry.
I'm sorry.
Steckel and Hurley pat Dave's shoulder, then leave. Having dozed off, Nelson lifts up his head to look at the door again, then stabs the floor with the tip of his screwdriver to try and keep himself awake. He falls asleep. Now, Billy Mahoney is cowering in a tree as Nelson and his friends pelt him with rocks. When Nelson wakes up, Billy strikes him down with the screwdriver. Rachel wanders over to a mirror. She sees the reflection of her cadaverous father behind her, but when she looks around the room, he's gone. Looking unnerved, she carries a bag into the next room where Dave is reading.
How you doing?
I'm late. I'll see you later.
Wait a minute. Where are you going?
I'm late. I have to talk to her. I gotta stop her.
Talk to who?
Good morning, Rachel. No. I wanted to tell her the voices were wrong. There's nothing beautiful out there.
Rachel, you gotta get used to losing them. It's part of our work.
But I was wrong.
In the playground from Dave's vision, children are swinging back and forth, and groups of girls are skipping with double ropes. Nearby, the young Dave and three of his friends are circling Winnie Hicks and tormenting her. As the playing continues all around them, the bullies roughly shove Winnie. Her cheeks are wet with tears. The children dissolve away till all that remains is the rusty old swing frame and a carpet of leaves. The adult Dave stands staring at the playground with a troubled look on his face. As Hurley is walking along a street, a woman in sunglasses comes out of a building behind him.
You look like you're enjoying the day.
Yeah, right.
Don't you remember me, Joe?
Yes, of course.
Are you a model? You could be.
Look, I've got to go.
Oh, I'm not picking you up. I just picked you out. Mind if I buy you a drink?
No, thanks.
I'll call you this weekend. I've been looking for a study partner.
Fine, I'm in the book.
Hurley enters his apartment block.
Hey, gorgeous.
How are you?
What you doing?
Some crazy girl. I know you, don't I?
Would you like to? We don't have to do anything. We can just lie together, hold each other in our underwear.
When he escapes into his apartment, another woman appears.
I'll call you, I promise. I'm tired of playing the field. We can stop whenever you want. It'll only make our relationship better. I've never felt like this before.
I'm tired of playing.
Of course I respect you.
Stop whenever you want.
Joe.
I'm tired of playing.
Joey.
And Joseph.
Carl, whenever you want.
I need you to show me that you love me, Joe.
You're not real!
Upstairs, he finds Anne sitting quietly in a chair.
Is that you? Is it really you?
You sounded so upset on the phone. I was worried I took the bus down.
What a great surprise. How long have you been here?
Long enough to see your tapes.
Oh my God.
You know, the worst part is you're gonna think I'm leaving you because you slept with all those girls.
It was just a stupid adolescent dream. Those women meant nothing to me.
I wish they had meant something to you, because if you were honest, if you had cared for any of them, then I could have fought that. I loved you, but to film all those girls without them knowing it, to have so little respect. Those women trusted you. And what kind of marriage can we have when you have no understanding of trust?
Anne, please. It's not what you think.
Yes, it is.
Hello, is this Mrs. Earl R. Hicks? Yeah, listen, this is kind of a strange question. I was wondering, do you by any chance have a daughter, Winnie, about 26 years old? You do? Great. My name is David Labratio. I was in school with Winnie. We went to S.B. Butler together. Yeah. Yeah, well, my parents still live there. Fine, fine. Listen, I wanted to get in touch with her, and I was wondering... Right. Okay. And do you have an address for her? Great. Thank you very much, Mr. Fix. I really appreciate it. Bye-bye.
Nelson is limping up Dave's stairs.
Jesus.
It's as bad as it feels, huh? You want me to take a look at it?
No, I just wanted to know how Rachel was doing.
Well, she didn't come out of that bathroom with the answers to life and death. I gotta go.
Where are you going?
Bensonville.
Could I go?
It's a 2-hour drive.
Look, I don't want to be alone.
Today, we are going to remove the left kidney and dissect the lower intestines. I would like you to remove the ascending colon from the transverse colon. Proceed to the sigmoid colon and onto the appendix. Remove the appendix, taking note of the blood supply.
Where the hell do you think you're going?
Next, we will enter the urinary
okay.
bladder.
At the base of which... I would be fine if everyone was up asking if I'm all right.
The triangle that points anterior. The opening of the urethra...
Are you crazy? Yes! You should get the heebie-jeebies.
Stick.
I'm the one who's spoken. Okay, well, getting us kicked out of med school is not going to help you get Anne back, and you get to work.
As Rachel stands working at a cadaver by herself, the room suddenly fills with the hellish red light from her visions. She gently pulls back the shroud covering the dead body, and seeing a distinctive tattoo on the arm, gasps with recognition. The tattoo is of a winged skull with Airborne written above it. When the cadaver's head moves, she looks terrified and takes a step back. A hand reaches out to her, then the shroud falls away, to reveal her father's gaunt and beseeching face. She knocks over her trolley, bringing her back to reality, then flees the room.
Manis! I'll handle this. Back to work, or suffer the consequences.
Fuck it.
Dave's truck is driving along a track that's overgrown with bushes.
This must be it.
Looks like Winnie did well for herself. Dave, she's probably not even gonna remember who you are.
Well, it's worth a shot. You coming?
No.
Listen, if anything happens, if you need me, you just honk the horn, all right?
Okay.
As Dave sets off towards the neat, sizable house, Nelson puts his feet up on the dash and has a smoke. When Nelson turns and looks out of the window, Dave's climbing the steps onto the veranda.
Ring, ring, ring. Dave, you should have sent a letter.
Hello? Anybody home?
A young girl answers the door.
Hi. Is your mother at home?
Coming.
Go in the house, baby. Yes? Can I help you?
Yeah. I think you can. You're Winnie Hicks, aren't you? From Claremont?
Yes.
Yeah, I'm David Liberatio. We went to S.B. Butler together.
Really?
Well, I was a little smaller then.
I just drove up from the city. That's my truck there.
Hi.
Hello, I'm nice. He's nice. We're both fucking lunatics. Can I come in, please?
Thanks a lot.
I gotta hand it to you, Dave. You've got guts.
An aerial view of the truck sitting in the autumnal, mist-enshrouded woodland. Now at ground level, as the sun glints through the trees, something or someone is closing in on the truck, keeping down low. It moves stealthily down the side past the driver's door, then swings around to the front. Nelson is sitting with his eyes closed, oblivious. Winnie's large greenhouse is bursting with flowers.
Wow, this is great. Beautiful. Looks like you've really done well for yourself.
Well, it isn't medical school. But I never liked school anyway. Wasn't very good at it. Surprised you even remember me.
Oh, yeah, I do remember you. And I also remember the way we treated you back then. You were a little shy, and I was a real jerk, and I'm sorry. I mean, I wanted to say I'm sorry.
What are you talking about? That was so long ago, I don't even remember what you could have done. Let's not dredge up all that stuff. Sherry, go on in the house.
Well, however we made you feel, it was wrong. I mean, we were wrong.
Go on.
The young girl does as she says.
I have a family now. I haven't been that ugly little girl in quite some time.
You were never ugly.
Why did you come here?
The unseen presence is still creeping through the bushes around the truck. As Nelson continues to doze with his feet up, it swoops in, then stops short of the driver's door. Nelson lifts up his head, looks at the house, then glimpses Billy's red hooded top zipping between the trees. Panicking, he quickly winds up the driver's window, then looks through the dirty pane at the woods.
David! Help!
It was just kids. I know how kids are. It didn't mean anything.
Listen, I didn't mean to come here.
Winnie? Are you all right?
I'm fine, Ben. Everything's okay.
Okay.
Ben walks out, leaving Sherry behind.
I'm sorry if I made you feel bad. I didn't want to hurt you again. I'm gonna go.
David? Thank you.
Are you sure?
She nods. In the truck, Nelson notices the canvas flap is hanging open and clambers into the back to close it up.
David! David! Help! David!
He remembers the horn, but then Billy appears with a pickaxe. Billy knocks him back, then swings the axe again, but Nelson manages to block it with a baseball bat. Billy thumps him hard, then as they both wrestle with the pickaxe, he forces the sharp end down towards Nelson's face.
No!
Both their faces contort with the effort. The pickaxe plunges towards Nelson's head. Dave smashes the window, jumps in, and finds Nelson wrestling with the pickaxe by himself.
Nelson! Stop! Stop it! Nelson! Stop! 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 Stop it! Where's Billy Mahoney? Where is he?
There is no Billy. There's no one here, man. It's just the two of us. We're all alone. Let go.
Nelson lets go of the handle. That night, outside Dave's student house, Steckles sits on the steps while Hurley paces around in front of him. Dave pulls up in the truck, then climbs out. Nelson remains in the passenger side.
Where the hell have you guys been?
Dave sees Rachel standing by the door.
She freaked in class. We've been with her all day.
How you doing?
I'm fine. Fine for somebody who keeps running into her father, who's been dead for 20 years. Death is beautiful. What a bunch of crap. How you doing, Nelson? You okay? Because I'd like to thank you. Thank you for the nightmare.
Hey, you guys were all so eager to jump on my coattails. Well, welcome aboard.
You withheld information. That's the same as lying.
Oh. I'm sorry you're so upset.
Nelson, do you think you're the only one that risked or lost the goddamn thing
I
here?
I always thought that there was something profoundly unnatural about this whole thing.
Shut up, Steckle. Talk about somebody who doesn't risk a goddamn thing.
Hey, screw yourself.
Come on, this is not going to help, all right?
We're all in this together.
No, we're not.
Wait a minute.
Oh, isn't she strong? So independent.
At least when I get into trouble, I don't drag everybody down with me.
Drag everybody? Come on. What happened to you, huh? You got caught with your videotapes down? And you swore a little girl on a playground, aw. Oh. And now you're having bad dreams about your daddy. I'm really sorry.
You don't know anything about me, Nelson. You never have.
But Dave does, doesn't he? Hey, come on, they're your sins. Live with them. I do.
You want to see death? Take a good look. It is beautiful.
You already hurt yourself. You want to hurt her too? Is that what you want? Huh? Do you?
Help him find Billy Mahoney.
How's that gonna help?
God damn it, Joe. Just help him find Billy, all right? Don't leave him alone.
Why do we want to find Billy Mahoney?
Because young Dr. Dave thinks he solved our karmic problems. Atonement, gentlemen.
Atonement?
Wait a goddamn minute. Jesus, you're always running away from me. Why don't you talk to me?
My father shot himself when I was 5.
And you feel responsible?
There was this door in our old hallway, and I wasn't supposed to go in, and I guess somehow...
Come on, come on. Kids always feel responsible. You could not have been to blame.
David, you said it yourself. People we wronged want revenge.
Look, I don't know if this is going to help. I'm going to see Winnie Hicks today. I mean, I don't know how to explain it, but it lifted. Somehow, just asking for forgiveness.
Winnie Hicks is alive. My father's dead.
Rachel, your father is in a good place. He wants you to let him go.
Then why is he back?
Dave draws her into his arms for a hug, and she closes her eyes and clings onto him. Nelson, Hurley, and Steckle park in a rundown part of town.
Here.
Where the hell are we? Don't you think we ought to get you to a hospital and get your face looked at?
Nelson!
Nelson steals the car keys and runs off.
Come on, this is a shortcut. I can't believe I remember all of this. Holy shit, the neighborhood's falling apart.
Nelson! The keys! Nelson!
Step on the crack, break your mother's back. Ollie, Ollie, oxen free! Last one over is a rotten egg. Come on, boys, salvation just ahead.
Nelson climbs over a high wall. A few seconds behind him, Hurley and Steckle clamber over, then drop down onto the other side and stop. They're standing in a dark and deserted woodland graveyard.
This is a graveyard.
Nelson! Where the fuck are you, Nelson?
This isn't funny anymore.
It never was.
Where the hell are you?
Right here.
He's leaning on a gravestone that's engraved with William Mahoney.
This is where Billy lives.
Wake up, you little shit! You got company!
Well, I know how I knew he was here. Because I put him here.
Billy Mahoney!
Nelson throws a rock that sends Billy flying out of the tree. As he plummets to the ground, a branch crashes onto Champ's back. Nelson runs over and sees his dog and Billy lying under a tangle of branches. There's blood oozing from Billy's temple. Nelson looks on, horrified.
I was taken away from my family when I was 9 years old. I was sent to Stoneham School for Boys.
I thought I'd paid my dues!
It was an accident. Let's go home, okay?
Dave's right. I can still make amends.
How?
Nelson's crouching by the gravestone with a faraway look in his eye. He slowly stands up, then starts walking away.
Nelson?
Joe, I gotta borrow your car.
Nelson!
Nelson runs off.
Nelson! Wait!
Oh my God.
Dave and Rachel are lying in each other's arms, asleep in bed. A blue light sweeps across the wall. Rachel wakes up with a start. She looks to the other side of the room and sees the bathroom door is ajar, and the room beyond is filling with the familiar red light from her visions. The light spreads to her and Dave's faces. She passes through the door into the bathroom of her childhood.
Hello. What? Where? Oh,
she sees her dad sitting with his back to her.
Rachel. Nelson freaked out. Joe and Steckel are stranded. You be all right alone?
Yeah.
Sure.
With a parting kiss on the lips, Dave hurries out. She looks around the bathroom, sees it has returned to normal, and clasps her hands. Dave runs out of the student house to his truck. As he drives away, Rachel pads across the apartment, tying the cord around his dressing gown. She notices the bathroom is bathed in the red light again. As she carries on, she suddenly finds herself in the house of her childhood, also bathed in the red light. She turns around, taking in her familiar surroundings. Looking a little emotional, she moves through a doorway and touches the frame as if to check it's real. Then she hugs herself. Up ahead, she sees her mother in the kitchen ironing just like before and smiles sadly. Then she turns and sees the staircase littered with her toys leading up to the bathroom. With a look of dread and anticipation, she sets off slowly up the stairs. Halfway up, she sees her tambourine and has to fight back tears before carrying on her way. On the wall to the side of the door is a framed picture of Jesus Christ. She pushes open the door and steps inside. Her dad is sitting in his vest with his back to her, with steam rising up around him. She inches closer. Peering over his shoulder, she sees he's cooking up heroin in a spoon and preparing a syringe. He plunges the needle into a vein in the crook of his arm, which has a tourniquet wrapped around it. Standing just behind him, Rachel has to briefly look away in tears. He slowly turns around to look at her.
Daddy.
Rachel? Sweetheart. Sorry.
As they embrace tightly, the red light dissolves away and the bathroom returns to normal around them. She clings onto him and rubs his back. Dave's truck arrives in the rundown neighbourhood where Steckel and Hurley are waiting by the supports under a bridge. They run over and jump in.
Billy Mahoney died 17 years ago, and whether he actually is or not, Nelson feels responsible.
Jesus Christ. Do you have any idea where he went?
He ran off mumbling something about making amends.
He's out of his mind. How the hell can you make amends with somebody who's already dead?
Oh, my God. You don't think he'd try to flatline without us, do you?
That would be suicide.
Sitting on the end of Dave's bed, Rachel gets up to answer his phone.
David.
No.
It's Nelson.
Nelson, where are you? David's out trying to find you.
Rachel, I wanted to say I was sorry. Please tell David I'm sorry for ever getting any of you involved in this.
No, you don't understand. None of that matters now.
Rachel, everything matters. Everything we do matters. That's why I'm going under again.
No, no, Nelson, please wait.
Goodbye, Rachel.
Nelson, tell me where you are.
I really am sorry.
Nelson, please, please wait.
After hanging up, he steps out of the phone box. He breaks into a run, passing a portico where the classical stone columns have been carved into women. Then he bounds through the groundworks outside the med school towards the entrance. Dave and the others are speeding through a tunnel.
We're being paid back for our arrogance.
Save it, Randy.
Nelson sprints through the frescoes room, checks over his shoulder, then carries on into the experiment room. Meanwhile, Rachel is running out of Dave's student house. Nelson wheels out the bed, then turns on a lamp. Bathed in the eerie blue light, he quickly punctures a bottle with a hypodermic needle, sucks the drug up into the syringe, then presses it to remove the air bubbles. Then he switches on the refrigerated blanket.
Good thing I didn't flatline. My 350-pound babysitter would be running after me, waving the half-eaten pastrami sandwich I stole from her.
Nelson's now under the blanket and preparing to give himself the shot.
Get Billy Mahoney. Come on.
He slowly presses the injection into his arm. His face is covered in sweat. He winces as the drug starts to kick in. Then he lies back and quickly removes the tourniquet from around his arm. He pulls the blanket up over him, reaches for the nitrous mask, then places it over his nose. His eyes dart wildly from side to side, then his lids gradually become heavier and close. The mask falls from his face. A glimpse of Billy's gravestone. The young Nelson is running through the field, only this time it's him who's being chased by Billy and his friends. Flashbacks to Billy viciously attacking the adult Nelson. The heart monitor zigzags, then flatlines. Dave's truck speeds past the groundworks outside the med school, then the three of them pile out. They dash up the steps, then sprint through the frescoes room, sweeping aside the plastic sheeting in their way. Then, barging through the doors of the experiment room, they turn on the lights and see Nelson's already under.
Oh God! Body temp down to 78. Potassium, use potassium!
Oh Christ, oh shit.
The young Nelson's still being chased.
Electrodes! Calcium in! 300! Clear!
Nelson climbs up the tree.
Nothing. Here I go again! Clear! Nothing.
Now it's Billy Mahoney who's throwing rocks at him. Rachel bounds up the steps into the med school. Nelson's still flatlining.
Up to 360! Clear! Nothing, I can't hear anything.
He called me. He called me. It's been over 9 minutes.
9 minutes? All right, let's intubate. 1-1000, 2-1000, 3-1000, 4-1000, 5-1000. Breathe!
Damn it, I can't get air. Trachea's too tight.
Try again. 1-1000, 2-1000. 3-1000, 4-1000, 5-1000, breathe! Come on, Nelson!
Stop, Billy! Stop, Billy! Stop! Get him,
Billy! Stop! FPA! 2-1000, 3-1000, 4-1000, 5-1000, breathe! Nothing. 88 degrees. Get me 4 milligrams of atropine ready.
4?
1-1000, 2-1000, 3-1000, 4-1000, 5-1000, breathe!
She gives Nelson the kiss of life.
Babe,
All right, atropine intratracheal. Come on. That is a truckload, Dave.
Come on, this has got to work.
This has got to work. Come on, back, Nelson. Come on, back, man. Come on, come on, come on, come on, come on, Nelson. Come on. Come on, Nelson. Come on, Nelson.
Come on, Nelson.
Come on back.
He's been dead 10 minutes.
2,000.
Kill him.
3,000. No, he's not in V-fib.
No blood pressure.
He's dead.
Abby, it's your cardio.
No, Rachel, no.
Just do it.
She plunges the needle into his chest. Billy throws the rock, knocking Nelson out of the tree. As Nelson plunges through the branches, he becomes his adult self, hurtling towards the ground with his arms flailing. He lies in a tangle of branches, motionless.
Starting TPR! 1,000, 2,000, 3,000, 4,000!
It's been 12 minutes! He is dead!
5,000, breathe! And 1,000, 2,000, 3,000, 4,000.
Forget about it, Dave. We lost him.
No, you son of a bitch.
Stop it. David,
don't
stop it. David.
No.
Stop it, David.
No.
Stop it, David.
Let him go.
He angrily knocks over the oxygen tank, then bangs a wall in frustration. Steckel looks down soberly at Nelson's body.
We are all responsible for this.
Maybe we deserve this.
No. No. It's not fair and it's not right. Sorry, God. I'm sorry. We stepped on your fucking territory! I'm sorry! Isn't that enough?
Apparently not.
I'll call the police.
No, I could hear it in his voice on the phone. Nelson felt he deserved to die.
Bullshit. It was a mistake. He was just a little kid. He doesn't deserve to die.
Dave shocks him one last time with the defibrillator paddles. Lying on the ground under the tree, Nelson wakes up with a start and sits up. Billy Mahoney standing before him, completely in silhouette, with Champ at his side. Billy lowers his hood and his face lights up. He looks down at Nelson and smiles at him kindly. A moment of understanding passes between them. Then Billy turns and sets off with Champ. Silhouetted against a bright blue light on the horizon, he pauses to look back at Nelson and give him a wave, before disappearing behind a tree. Nelson watches him go with wonder. Then a noise makes him reluctantly turn and look the other way. He runs off across the field in the sunshine, moving towards the voices.
We fucking got him!
Come on, Nelson, pick up the beat.
Easy, don't rush him.
Come on,
baby. Oh my God.
Come on, Nelson, pick up the beat.
Don't rush him, quick, go.
She puts the oxygen mask over Nelson's face and his eyelids flicker.
That's it.
He opens his eyes.
Baruch atah Adonai, Hail Mary, praise Jesus, all that stuff. Oh, thank you, Jesus.
Night, Nelson. Don't try to.
I'm gonna get this on tape, okay, guys?
Nelson tries to talk, but his mouth is dry. Dave leans in closer to hear him.
He said,
said it wasn't such a good day to die.
As Rachel wipes away a tear, Nelson turns to look at her. In one of the frescoes, an old man with a grey beard is naked and on his knees, holding up a flame in his hand. The unsmiling, formidable God of the Old Testament looms above him, swathed in robes and pointing one ominous finger. The painting is framed within one of several arches, each housing other classical characters who are part of the same tableau. God remains at the center, casting his beatific light all around.